All right, Tabo, say good morning. Let's continue a little bit in Mesilas Yesharim. So we left off, and still we're actually finishing Parakhov Beis today. We left off in the red edition, it's page Reish Lamed Hey, about six lines in. So he writes over here, V'chin ukvar sipru zichronim levracha, me'esim v'arba elef talmidi Rabbi Akiva Shemesu. Remember, again, what we're speaking about, this is the fourth piece, or the fourth part of Anava, of creating humility, is giving kavod to the other. That again, an incredible display, or a way to engender a sense of humility, is to be able to give kavod, to give honor and respect to the other. So he says, the Gemara tells about the story of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva who died, al shalo, or I should say the 24,000 pairs of Rabbi Akiva students who died. Why? Al shalo, hayu noagin kavod zela zeh. Because they did not treat each other with respect. So what's interesting is the following. If you notice, generally when people quote this Gemara, there is generally a struggle to understand what does it mean they didn't give each other proper kavod. You know, it doesn't mean like it says. It's this. If you notice, the Ramchal doesn't attempt to give a deeper understanding to this halacha. Instead, all the Ramchal goes ahead and does, the Ramchal simply says that what it literally means is they didn't give kavod to one another. That's actually what it means. They didn't treat each other with respect. They didn't treat each other nicely. Either talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But again, lemaisa, this is a challenge for all people, great and not as great. So just as, again, the bizoyon, degrading someone, is something that is associated with the wicked, kidvar hakasuf shezacharnu, bevo rasha, ba gam buz, kein hakavod misyaches ela tzadikim, ki hakavod shochin imohem, ve'ino misparish mehem. So Ramchal says something amazing. He said, if you want to see, it's always interesting to note how we define a tzaddik and how we define a rasha. So one thing is clear, which is the definition of a tzaddik is not dependent on how much Torah you learn. How do we know that, Rabbi Hussein? Because lemaisa, you could master kala Torah kula and be a rasha gomer. Because remember, again, you could be a very intellectually astute individual and be very smart and be very wise. You can master Torah. It doesn't necessarily indicate in any way about your personal piety. Because we know sometimes a person can learn Torah and it doesn't change them at all. So what is the defining factor between a tzaddik and a rasha? The Ramchal would posit is it's in one's midos. It's in one's midos. The kind of person you are. Now, again, remember, so what does this mean? What this means is, The kind of midos you have, ultimately lay the groundwork for everything else you become. I'll just tell you, you know, we say, "Ah, give me that sitter, just because you have to clap on that sitter for me for a second. Thank you." This is just very quickly, just so you understand this. Well, actually, let's finish, then I'll tell you it. The neged zikin of kavod. V'hari nisparu chelki anava arashim uprateem, v'chol prate haminim, hamisrachim v'hovchim lufnei hanosim, v'lufi ha'idim ha'mekomos, yishma chacham v'yosef lakach. So Ramchal says, at this point in time, I've given you everything you need to know about what the midah of anava is. What is humility? I've given you all the different appendages, all the different parts. V'hine zevadai shahanava mesira miderech ha'adam michsholos rabim u'mikareves osa el tovos rabos. So the Ramchal says there's no question that anava, that humility, removes from the pathway of a person many obstacles, but yet simultaneously brings him closer to many wonderful things. Ki ha'anav yachush ma'at, listen to this, because the anav literally pays little attention to matters of this world and does not become jealous over little things. If you look at footnote 82, see, he says, ha'anav yachush ma'at adivrei ha'olam, inyanei ha'olam hazeh lo yuchashuvim la'anav ela ma'at. So I'll say it's very important. It's not the pshat that the anav, that the person who is humble, becomes an ascetic and doesn't want any type of gashmius and doesn't... It's a shayla of what's important. You understand what he's driving at over here? Bless you. At the end of the day, why is it that sometimes people have such a drive for gashmios? What is the drive for gashmios embedded into a certain degree? Part of it is kavod. Part of it is ego. Part of it, again, I want to be clear. This doesn't mean that every single person who enjoys Gashmius is for the ego. It's not true. Chas v'shalom. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a Gashmi world to be able to enjoy it. But when you see an unhealthy emphasis on it, generally what that means is a person is lacking something inside. They're trying to make it up through the acquisition of material goods in an effort to make themselves shalim. So the Ramchal, and again, that all comes back to ego. So the Ramchal says something amazing. The Ramchal says, what's the indication that a person ultimately is truly humble? True humility comes about because you're happy with yourself. And if you're happy with yourself, I don't need other material band-aids to build up my ego to make me happy. Rather, I'm happy with the person I am. I'm happy with the life I'm leading. I'm happy ultimately, again, with the person I'm becoming. And therefore, I don't need all the material things. I like them. I enjoy them. They could be very useful, very helpful. It's good to be comfortable. But the mindset, I don't need it in order to make me whole. Vote, furthermore, so that's number one. The Ramchal says, if we're successful in acquiring the Midah of Anava, so first of all, understand that Anava will bring us closer to many good things, and ultimately will not go ahead and cause us to be jealous of other people's material acquisitions. Va'od is also very beautiful. Shechevras ha'anav no'a ad ma'od, that literally the chevra, the peer group of a humble person, is a nice peer group. V'ruach ha'brios no'cha hemenu, and people like humble people. Right? Ultimately, again, it's a good way to get along with others. The hechrich lo yava li de kas. Humble people generally don't get angry as much. Volo li de meriva are not quarrelsome individuals. Ella hakol b'hashket, hakol b'menucha. But rather, again, the humble person, everything is quiet. Everything ultimately is done with menucha. Ashrei mi shezocha l'midazu. Look at the Ramchal says, praiseworthy is the one who is able to acquire the Midah Vanava. Ukvar Amru Zuchorun Levracha, Masha Asasa Chachma Atara L'Rasha, Asasa Anava Akev L'Sul Yasa. This is actually quite a beautiful idea, that literally what Chachma does is like a crown for the head. So Anava Akev L'Sul Yasa, if you look in the footnote, in 85, he says, Akev L'Sul Yasa, he says, so essentially what the Yerushalmi is saying is, as great as Chachma is, people think that Chachma is like the crown of a person. If Chachma is the crown of a person, Anava is the jewel in the crown. Chachma is wonderful, wisdom is important, intellect is very good, but Lamaisa, what truly defines a person as a person is their ability to be an Anav, their ability to be humble. Ki kol ha-chachma kula lo ya'achena. All the wisdom in the world cannot go ahead and measure up to the true value of Anava, Bezeh Baror. And this is clear. So now let's be in Parakov Gimel. So remember, by now we understand how the Maseiach HaSharim is set up, especially hopefully by now we understand that we're coming towards the end of it. So remember, the way that Ramchal is set up is, first, he'll define a particular Midah. He'll define what the Midah is, why it's important, and then he'll spend the next chapter trying to explain to us how to acquire that Midah, which, if you think about it, is an incredibly poignant system, because sometimes the difficulty we have with Musar, with Hashkafa, is we learn these concepts, but we're not necessarily, we don't know how to implement them. So the Ramchal gives you, this is like full service, one-stop shopping Musar. You get the explanation, plus the pathway or the process for implementation. So let's begin, Parakhav Gimel. There are two things that habituate a person to become humble. What are they? Haregilus v'hayespone. This is actually quite amazing as well. So regilus means to habituate oneself to become ragio v'hayespone and contemplation. What does this mean? Haregilusu sheyihya ha'adam margil atzmo ma'at ma'at. So the first step, says Ramchal, is that, again, understand, it's what we've seen is, it's not easy to be humble, right? Why is it not easy to be humble? Because Lamaisa, at the end of the day, so man is inherently egocentric. So humility requires that my ego be put on the back burner, that life is not about me, that stroking my ego is not the most important thing in the world, and that we realize that what's most important is accomplishing, what's most important is becoming more of my brios, but it's not me. So that's almost causes me to go against my teva of being an egocentric, self-centered being. So how do I break the teva? So the Ramchal says, ma'at, ma'at, slowly. Slowly, baby steps, small steps, ultimately create a sense of anava. He says, for example, b'yeshivas hamakomos hapachusim. I don't always need to have the most bakavadik seat. Right? Then go ahead and maybe sit. This is a double-edged sword. I don't want to encourage anyone to sit towards the back of the shul. That's not what I'm saying here. Right? But the idea over here is that, you know, sometimes there are opportunities and to be seated in more bakavadik. So a person doesn't have to go after the most bakavadik seating. Person doesn't have to be the first. Rather, a person can walk in the back of the chevra. This is actually very interesting as well. Lil bosh big day tsinuim, to wear modest clothing. What does that mean? Dahainu mechubadim. Now, lest you think this means that wear, you know, threads and nothing else. No. I mean, wear nice clothing that's mechubad, but achlo mefo'arim. One doesn't have to be flashy. One doesn't have to show off what it is that they're wearing. Ki behisra. Now, you're both saying, if you look at what he's saying over here, what are these? These are small behaviors. These are just small behaviors. What he's talking about over here, and I want to tell you what's fascinating about this, because remember again, in Perek Chof Beis, what did the Ramchal say? Remember, there are two parts to Anava. There's Anava b'machshava and Anava b'maisa. There's humility in thought, humility in deed. According to the Ramchal, what's the first step? Which part comes first? Humility in thought, which remember again was very novel, because normally when trying to change a midah, you first begin with behaviors, and then you go with feelings. With anavas, because again, it's hard to change how you feel, much easier to change how you act. We operate with the assumption that if you change how you act over time, you will change how you feel as well. Anava humility seems to be just the one exception to this rule, where you start with thought, and then you go to actions. So what's interesting is Ramchal's taking it for granted that I'm already beginning with thought. But once I'm beginning with thought, so what are the behavioral steps I take? So he says, ma'at, ma'at, slowly, small steps, little steps. So if I know that I have a choice between buying the nicest suit or the second to nicest suit, but the second to nicest suit is very nice as well, very beautiful, very, very mechubad. So l'maisa, the Ramchal says, if I do that, I engender within myself a certain sense of anava. He says, kibis, let's just read one more line, kibis raglo b'derach hazeh, tikonis v'tava ha'anava b'libo ma'at ma'at, atche tikava bo karoi. Because ultimately, when I become ragil, when I become habituated in this derech of humility of anava, the anava seeps into my heart a little bit at a time, until it becomes embedded in the appropriate way. So small steps, says Ramchal, ultimately have the ability to embed this anava. One more line. Kihine b'hios teva leif ha'adam la'zuach u'lehisnase kasha alav me'od la'akor me'ikara hanetiyah ativas hazos. Remember, actually, we'll stop with this piece over here, but this is exactly what we were talking about before. Ramchal says, because I understand that it is the teva of man, lazuach ulehisnase. So lazuach ulehisnase means what? To be arrogant. It is the teva, this is very important, just out self-awareness. It is very important, it is very almost reflexive to be arrogant. That's the way people are. They're self-centered, they're arrogant. Therefore, the only way to go ahead and move oneself away from this, Ela imkin bepeulos hachitzonos hamesuros biyado yimshoch ma'at ma'at hadavra bepnimiyosu abilti masrul kolkach. Therefore, the only way to change that, Rabosai, is how? Small steps. Small steps, small behaviors. Move our behavior from a self-centered, self-centric place, ultimately, again, to a place of healthy humility. We'll stop. One more line. Okay, inyan shevi arnu. Okay, inyan, fine. Twisted my arm. Okay, inyan shevi arnu bizrizos shekol ze nichla b'ma'amarim zichron l'vracha li'olam yehe adum arum b'yira. So Ramchal says, what's the mandate? The mandate with this is that, and this is amazing, what does the Gemara in Bracha say? A person has to be arum b'yira. What does it mean, arum b'yira? Cunning. Cunning. A person has to be a little bit of a trickster when it comes to cultivating a sense of Yiras Hashem. What does that mean? Da'ainu shi'evakish tachbulos neget ha'tev netiyaso. I actually say, see, Rabbi, here's the problem. The way it works in life is, if you try to launch a frontal assault
against your Yetzirah, chances are what happens? You lose. Why? Because the Yetzirah is stronger, the Yetzirah is smarter, the Yetzirah is wiser, the Yetzirah is much older than me. The Yetzirah has been around since the beginning of time. So if I go ahead and I launch a frontal assault, I'm going to lose that battle. So Amchal says, that's what the Gemara says, La'olam yehi adam arum b'ira. You have to take a tactical approach towards the Yetzirah. And what happens? Sometimes you have to realize it's not about the war, it's about starting by winning battles. If you try to win the war at the outset, you're going to lose that big time. But if I try to win the small battles each and every day, then over time I'll look back and I'll say, wow, all of those battles, now that they've been strung together, create this miracle. I've won the war, but not because I've engaged the war, because I've engaged in this series of battles. That's what he's saying over here. Person says, I want to be, came to the Shem, I want to be humble. Great. Everybody wants to be humble. So starting today, I am humble. Doesn't work that way. If you want to say, maybe some people, so how it works, for most people, it doesn't work that way. Rather, again, if a person says, I'm humble, I'm no longer, person's going to fail. But if a person takes small steps, like the one that he's describing over here, little bit after little bit, to go ahead and conquer that sense of egocentricity and unhealthy arrogance, person wages those battles, over time a person will change their behavior, and over time I'll win the war. All right, we'll stop over here, really, and then we'll pick up over here tomorrow.